Luke chapter 2, if you would. Our last time in Luke this year, maybe. Unless we come back to it sometime during the year. But Luke chapter 2 again. I've pretty much abused it, but the Lord has been gracious in it. And let's just read again and get it ingrained in us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So this account that's here that we has been recorded for us and kept for us all these years, we read, we look at, but I want to focus this morning, if we would, pretty much just on verse 14. We're going to be in a lot of places this morning, but as we look at this, we see something that we haven't looked at and something that the Lord ministered to me and I'm sure has spoken to you about, but it says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And we see this, these scriptures, these words, these promises from God, these things that God has left for us about having peace and goodwill toward men. and we look at these things and we wonder, well, where is it and what's going on? What's happening? Because peace seems to be flying away. It doesn't seem to be here. Peace is something that the Lord has promised to us, something that the Lord has spoken to us. In Psalm 29, it says this in verse 11, The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So the Lord has promised peace to come to his people, to peace to come to us. Even in the New Testament here in the Gospel of Luke, it says, on earth peace. And we look at it and we go, well, where is this peace and what's happening with this peace? And we see that it's slipping away from us, it seems like. But we know that there's a promise there, so what do we do with it? In Isaiah 26, it says this in verse 3, Thou will keep him in perfect peace. So there's a perfect peace. There's a peace. There's a perfect peace. There's supposed to be peace on earth. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we see the picture of it and how to get there is to have our whole focus on who the Lord is. And he says, You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. We trust in him. And so we see that that's where the focus needs to come. That's where the focus needs to be. But we have trouble getting a hold of it. We have trouble holding on to it. And then we come to a troubling verse. And it's in the Gospel of Luke, and it's in chapter 12, and it says this in verse 51. Well, let me send a couple other verses with it. I'll start in verse 49. It says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give you peace on earth? It's a question. I tell you, no, but rather division. And then we come to an issue. Wait a second. It doesn't match up with the other verses that we read. Why is Jesus saying, I'm not going to send you peace? I haven't come to give you peace. I've come to cause division. And yet God says in Psalm and Isaiah and in other places, I've come to bring you peace. So what is it? There's a song by Casting Crowns that's, and it's an old song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I'm sure you're a little familiar with it. But in the midst of this song, you want me to sing it to you?
Yeah.
Wrong. Kevin was the only one back there going, don't do that to us. We'd have to go home and find another church. But it says, and the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing, and in my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we grab a hold of those verses and we look at them and say, yes, we need to have peace on earth. We need to have goodwill towards men. And isn't that what the world is crying out for? We need peace on earth. We have a president who's stopped 8 wars so far, so they say, or made peace with 8 different wars. And yet there's so many other wars going on. So where's this peace? Where's goodwill? The next verse in this song says, and in despair, I bowed my head. And he says, there is no peace on earth, I said. There is no peace on earth. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, but the bells are ringing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we see these things, we hear that song, and we go, wait a second, where is this then? If there's peace on earth, goodwill towards men, then why does Jesus say that he's going to cause division and not peace? So either God is lying, or we're misunderstanding, or we're not hearing, because there is no contradictions in Scripture, even though many people say the Bible is contradictory towards itself. There is not any contradictions in the Bible. The only contradictions is in our understanding. It's us. So there's another option besides God being wrong, the Bible being wrong, or Jesus coming against God and saying, no, there isn't. Dad said that, but I'm schizophrenic, so therefore I'm going to say something else. God is not in that place. It's us. So what is the problem then? Well, if you look at verse 14 there in the Gospel of Luke, we see the on earth peace and goodwill toward men, but there's something before it, isn't there? And it says, glory to God in the highest. And as you look at God, you got to remember that there is an order in God's kingdom, that there's an orderliness in everything that he does, in everything that he says, for there to be peace on earth, on this earth, and goodwill towards men. God has to be glorified first. Because if God is not glorified first, there is going to be no peace, and there is going to be no goodwill. And you can bring it down to an intimate level. You can bring it down to your own level. If we don't have peace and we don't have goodwill towards men, are we really glorifying our God in heaven? And if we aren't even glorifying God in heaven, how do we expect to have peace? Because we're out of God's order. We're out of God's direction. And so we see that when Jesus said he's come to cause division, it wasn't because he wasn't going to bring peace. He is peace. He is our peace, and he's broken down every wall. So then where is that peace? Well, first there has to be a heart that has God glorified first. Because even look at the angels. When the angels are saying this song, and again, we always say that the angels in heaven sang this song. There is no song there. It says the angels were saying. Well, there goes that Christmas carol. Got to get another one now. They're talking, but they're giving it out. But they're giving out the order that God has given them. Even the angels aren't glorifying the baby that was born in the crib. It says, glory to God in the highest. And then on earth, peace. And then if there's peace, then there's going to be goodwill towards men. And notice the order. First God, then peace, then goodwill. Because goodwill is going to come from peace. And peace is going to come from God. And if God is glorified, then there's going to be peace and goodwill. And if not, we're going to have a world just like we see now, with no peace, no goodwill, and no glorifying of God. So we see it on a worldly level, but certainly on our own level, on our intimate level, this one-on-one that we have with the Lord. If we don't glorify God in our hearts first, then we're really going to have no peace. And if we don't have any peace, there's going to be no goodwill towards men. And we see it even in our own lives, don't we? That there is none of that, that there is nothing that goes on like that. And we go, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. What do I do with all of this? And where do I go with all of this? In the Gospel of John, it says this in chapter 14, verse 27. And I'm going to hit a few verses there, and then we're going to travel a little bit. But he says this in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace. So where do we get peace? We get it from God. But that means that God has to be glorified for us to receive that peace. We have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ to have that peace. And if we don't have that peace, it's because we're not in communion with our Lord. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're not having a relationship with the Lord. It just means that at the moment you're out of sync. Because in this flesh, we're fighting a battle constantly, aren't we? The battle between the flesh and the spirit. And it's a constant battle. Some days the flesh wins, some days the spirit wins. We want the spirit to win all the time, but it's a daily battle that we have to go through, that we have to fight through, that we need to be disciplined about. And it starts with us glorifying God in heaven. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the world brings you, whether it's disease, whether it's unemployment, whether it's old age, whether it's whatever it is, we still can have that relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter our physical condition. What matters is, are we glorifying our God in heaven? And that doesn't matter what your condition is, what your disease is, what your age is. What matters is, do we have a relationship with the Father, and are we in it today? Are we looking for that relationship today so that we can have that peace that he's going to bring? Because without glorifying God in heaven, you aren't going to have peace. There's a worldly peace, but it doesn't last. It's based on how we feel. Well, I just won the lottery of $1.8 billion, so I'm at peace today. No, you're not, because you're sitting there wondering how you're going to get rid of $1.8 billion all at once. What can I buy? There's no peace in that either. The peace is, Lord, you've come to save me. You've given me real life. Lord, thank you. Peace I leave with you, my peace. I give to you. Notice you don't have to buy it. You can't earn it, like some religion will want to tell you that you have to work for it. It's there. It's just you apprehending it, grabbing a hold of it, embracing it, and bringing it in. But it starts with that relationship with the Father. But it's interesting at the end of that verse, after he tells us he's going to give us peace, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Our hearts have trouble with verses like that because we don't know what to do with it. How do we get there? How do we attain it? But he says, don't be troubled by it. Let me bring it to you. Let me give it to you. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of what it's going to bring to your life. Instead, embrace it and hold on to it. It tells us this then in John chapter 16. In verse 33, he says this. If I can find it here, where's my Bible? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So here comes the issue being resolved of how come Jesus says one thing, God says another thing, where's the peace? He says you might have peace. So there's an opportunity for you to have peace or to not have peace. But guess who the decision comes down to? Us. You could have peace if you want to. And some of you right now are very troubled about the things that are going on in your life. You're troubled with health issues. You're troubled with financial issues. You're troubled with world issues. You're just troubled because your mind is wacky. We are a wacky people. And it doesn't bring peace. But you can be settled today, too, the moment you come into that communion with the Father. That's why communion with our Father in heaven is so important. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we get it. But look at how gentle the Lord is to us. He says, let not your heart be troubled. His desire for you is that you wouldn't be troubled. His desire for you is that you would have peace. And his desire for the world is that it would be at peace, isn't it? Because when he made the world, he formed it without sin. And when there was no sin, there was constant communion with the Father, and there was no war, there was no issues, there was peace. It wasn't till sin came in that there was no peace. Because look at Adam. As soon as he sinned, what did he do? He hid from God. He covered himself the way that God had made him. God, I don't like the way that you made me. I'm going to hide myself from you. And that's what we do, don't we? Sometimes when trouble comes into our lives, we just sit there and hide ourselves from God. We hide ourselves from his word. We hide ourselves from prayer. We hide ourselves from getting to church. We hide ourselves from the fellowship of other believers. And we just enter into that place where it's all about us and how we feel. Where has everything gone to? Into our feelings, rather than what the truth is. In me you might have peace. In the world, listen to what he says, in the world you're going to have tribulation. It doesn't say that you might, it says you're going to. There is tribulation in this world. Don't be discouraged because sometimes there's tribulation around you, because that's what the world brings. It isn't what Jesus brings, it's what the world brings. And there is no peace in that tribulation unless Jesus is in the midst of it. That's why, again, the order is so important. He says, these things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace, but be careful, because in the world you're going to have tribulation. And what does tribulation do? It tries to rob your peace. It tries to take away that peace. That's why when you sit there and you go through your day and you find that you have no peace, it isn't God's fault. And it isn't even the world's fault. It's our fault. We've let it go. The gift that Jesus wants to give us of peace, we have none because we aren't looking for it. We're not embracing it. We're not saying, Lord, your word says I can have peace. So why is it I'm not having peace? You can talk to God like that. You can ask him and be sure he'll answer you if you're listening. Don't say those things without wanting an answer. Say those things expecting an answer. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. And if he overcame the world and he's in you now, guess what you have? You have the strength to overcome the tribulation, the trials, the fears, the anxiety, the depression, all of those things, and let God's peace come upon you. And folks, that brings up another issue for us. There is not one thing in this world, there is not one condition, there is not one circumstance where we can say, God, you've left me and therefore I don't have any peace. It's because we've left him. we've walked away. It doesn't mean that we're not saved. It just means that we're not in communion with our Father at the moment, and we've walked away to become anxious or despondent, depressed, discouraged, unthankful, unholy, unrighteous. And guess what? We're in perilous times. And because we're in perilous times, these things are going to become more and more evident. So then where do we go? You got to get back to Jesus, folks. Because if you don't have Jesus, you aren't going to have peace. There's an old bumper sticker that we used to have. I don't even know if they still make them. But it says, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. And then underneath it, it says, N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. You can know Jesus and have peace, or you don't have Jesus and you have no peace. Because you can't get peace anywhere else. Wegmans has not come up with an aisle for peace. You can't go down the aisle and, hey, I need a quart of peace today. I don't know about you, I'd need a whole aisle of peace to get through some of the days that we go through. So the responsibility comes on us. I heard the bells ringing. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But there is none. But there can be in each and every one of us. There may not be peace in the world, but you know what? We can have peace. You can have peace. It doesn't say that he's going to get rid of disease or old age. We wish he would, don't we? I don't know. Sometimes I say I'd like to be 30 again, but I was dumb and stupid still at 30, so I don't know if I want to go back to 30. Maybe 32 when I got saved. That would be okay. But he can bring us through today. And you sit there and you shake your heads and say, yes, he can, but are you letting him? And are you desiring him to? Because the only way we're going to get it is to have glory to God first. Glory to God in the highest. And notice it says glory to God in the highest. And do something with that word in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest. He is the highest entity. He is the highest thing in the order of things that all come to pass. If God isn't at the top, then it isn't going to trickle down to where we are. What's going to come down to us is whatever we have on top. Do you have your youth? Do you have your desires first? Do you have your wish to be healed first? Or do you have God first? Because that's what we need to have for that peace to come down. If we're waiting for God to do something before we have peace, we're in trouble because we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking for God to be a Santa Claus to give us the gift that we want, rather than to what he has given us already. He's already given us everything that we need for life and godliness, all the peace, all the love, all the joy, all the temperance, all the goodness. We have all those things already, and they're in abundance. We just aren't embracing them. We aren't taking them in and holding on to them. We're letting the world dictate how we feel. We're letting our emotions dictate to us how we feel about things instead of what God's word says. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He says this, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's our peace. He is our peace. Speaking of Jesus, it's not how you feel. It's not your emotions that is our peace. It's him. And so if you're looking to anything but Jesus, you're not going to get peace. You're going to be at odds even with yourself. When I'm out walking, I am completely schizophrenic sometimes because I argue with myself along the way. Well, I should be having a good day because Jesus is here. Well, I'm not having a good day because this hurts and that hurts and my knees hurt and my toes hurt and my back hurts and I got diseases and I don't have money in the bank and you're completely killing yourself, just like I do. But he says, I am your peace. I've broken down that wall that separates you from God so you can have that relationship now, so that you can have that communion now, so that you can have perfect peace. Oh, Lord, where do I go then? It tells us this in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. So we start to see how to get there, what to do with all of that. If you would, just turn. You don't have to hold your place here. We're not going to come back. But go to the book of Colossians, if you would. If you're in Luke, just go over a few books. You'll find Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 3. It tells us this in Matthew while you're turning there. Chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these things to you. Oh, Lord, what do you want to add to me? I want to add to you everything that you need so that you can get through this life and do it well. As the Lord brought Israel, and since we're in Numbers going through, we see that the Lord brought everything to them that they needed to get through the wilderness, didn't he? And the wilderness, the picture of that wilderness for them is the same as it is for us. We're in the wilderness now. We're going to our home. Heaven is coming. But we're in a wilderness now. And there's some dark places. There's some hard places. There's some difficult things. But didn't the Lord give Israel everything that they needed to get through it? He fed them every day. He clothed them. He gave them water. He gave them direction. He gave them focus. He gave them his presence in the midst of them. He gave them everything that they needed. And he's done the same for you and I. We just don't apprehend it. We don't grab a hold of it. We just dismiss it and say, my life is too tough. I'm not going to believe you anymore, Jesus. Oh, that's a hard place to get to, but I think we've all gone there sometimes where we just get so upset with the Lord because things aren't coming together. Our spouses aren't what we want them to be. And disease is hit, and everything else is going on, and your dog died, and your truck died, and you're going to become a cowboy and kick the dirt and do all of those things. You're just a mess because we haven't trusted what the Word said. That's why the Word becomes so important. That's why we need to be in the Word every day, reading it, and not just reading it, but folks, believe it for yourself. Don't believe it for somebody else. Believe it for yourself. Because this is the only place where help is going to come from. What did the psalmist say? My help comes from the Lord. It isn't going to come from this pulpit. It isn't going to come from this church. It's going to come from the Word. Because he's the living Word. And he's alive. And he's good. And he loves you. And he hasn't gotten so upset with you that he's just cast you aside. He loves you. And he loves you perfectly. We just need to trust him for it. In Colossians chapter 3, this is how we get to this place. This is where we need to come to. And it becomes a practice. It becomes a discipline for us. It comes to us in that place where we really need to hold on to what God has for us. Because we can't trust the world. Jesus came as peace, and the world cast Jesus out. Isn't it amazing that heaven took him in? What the world didn't want, heaven wanted. Oh, man took Jesus and crucified him. What did God do with Jesus? He crowned him with many crowns. It just shows the importance that if heaven wanted Jesus and crowned him, why doesn't the world? It's because we don't want him. We don't want him. There's evil in the world. Amen. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if ye then, if... So there's a word here, if, two-letter word. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. So there's almost not a comparison, but just a, if you do this, then this is going to happen. There's a cause and a result, cause and effect. If you then be risen with Christ, then what? Seek those things that are above. Isn't that what Matthew said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. If you have the King James, there's the ETH in there, sitteth, and it's an ongoing verb. He sits and continues to be there. God is not off the throne. Satan hasn't taken over heaven. The world may look like it, but Jesus is still on the throne. and he's still ruling and reigning. We're just waiting to see the culmination of it, and someday it's going to come, and it's going to come quick. So if you're risen with Christ, if you're in that place of being born again, then have your heart in that place of seeking those things that are above. Notice it doesn't say go out and buy another lottery ticket. It doesn't say go down and find some peace in a well somewhere. It says seek Jesus. It doesn't say anything else. Seek Jesus. Oh, Lord, may that be the cry of our new year, that we would seek Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because in him is the fullness of joy. In him is where we get our peace. In him is where we get our sustaining grace. In him is where we get everything that we need for this life, no matter what's facing you. And I'm preaching to myself. So if he's there and you're seeking him, set your affections, set to make a disciplined effort to put in place your affection, your desires, your hopes on things above, not on the things of the earth. Oh, set your affection. Build it. Do it well. When they build homes, they always put foundations in, at least up north here. Or they put it in a place where you have enough of a foundation to hold up the house. Are we setting our affections in that place where the foundation is built on that solid rock of Jesus, so that when storms come, it isn't going to tear down the house that we built, the house that we dwell in, where this place where the Lord wants to dwell? In the picture there is, for us, when the storms of the trials of the world come against us, are we going to fall apart? Bad things happen. There was a book a long time ago. I don't recommend it, but why do bad things happen to good people? Because we're in the world, is the answer. You don't need to read the book. All you have to do is read your Bible. The Bible will tell you. You don't have to read the book. You just saved yourselves $19.99. So there you go. They happen to good people. Good people are those that love the Lord and walk with him. Bad things happen because these things are in the world. But you don't have to fall apart and let your world crumble. Even for a moment. Wouldn't it be great if we could go through a whole day and do that? We'd have an awesome day. It just shows how much we don't do it. But set your affections on those things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And it tells us why. Because you are dead. Really? You're dead to those things of the world. You don't need those things of the world anymore. You're a new creature in Christ. You've gone away from those old things that used to be there. They've become dead to you. You're a new creature. God indwells you, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. The day is coming when these things are going to become truth in our lives, but we believe them now. How? By faith. How's your faith walk? Oh, Is your faith just built on that you're going to heaven someday, or is your faith now that he's going to take you through today? No matter if I have cancer again, Lord, you can bring me through today. No matter if everything falls apart in my family today, Lord, you can bring me through it. Oh, but that's a discipline, isn't it? It takes a conscious effort on our part to put ourselves in that place of letting God be our first. And that means we cry out, and even if you have to do it verbally in front of everybody, glory to God in the highest. And then on earth, peace. And then there's going to be goodwill. But notice what's first, God. And then peace for us. And then it goes outward. And it's the same way with the new birth. When we talk about being born again, first, we look to God, and then we have peace because he gives us his peace. And then what happens? It goes outward, and we start telling other people about Jesus. The witness comes. It's always the same picture that goes on. But first, we need to have our hearts in that right place. And I think that the years, the times, the seasons that we're in, all the things that go on in the world are bringing us to that place more and more where we're seeking him more and more, or we should be. 2026 could be the year that Jesus comes back, or it could be today. Today would be better. But he's coming. And it's interesting that the news goes through all the people that we lost. in 2025. God didn't lose them. He knows where they are. You don't have to be lost. Jesus found you. He came to seek and to save those that were lost and to save them. That's what he did for you and I. We're not lost. He knows exactly where we are. He knows who we are. We may go home individually. Today, tomorrow, next year, we don't know. But God knows. He knows that appointed day that we're coming home. Do you trust him? Do I trust him with today? Because today is hard enough, isn't it? Jesus said, don't look to tomorrow, because today has enough evil for itself. You don't have to look for tomorrow. You need to get through today. And you can't do it on your own. I need Jesus. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, to remember what you've done to bring us to that place of just having that glorious time of your presence in our lives, may you speak to our hearts, Lord. May you show us where those things are. Lord, the world is confused because they don't see peace on earth. They don't believe Jesus because they don't see peace on earth. But, Lord, they have no peace in themselves because they have no Jesus. Lord, may we be the ones that are able to show them the way, Father, that we would glorify you first, that we would then have peace, and then the outward reaching would come forth from that, Lord. So help us with it. Minister to us, Lord, if we're sitting here this morning and we don't have any peace, if things have just shaken us completely, they've shaken our world, Father, may you bring us back to that place of peace, back to that place where we know you is our peace, Lord. First you, then that peace, then we can go from there. Lord, help us to do that. There's not any situation that you can't take care of. So, Lord, help us to trust you with it. Father, speak to us. Be with us in this place as we sit before you, remembering what you've done so that we could have that peace. And just speak to our hearts about where we are with you today, Lord. Are we glorifying you, or are you second or third on the list, Lord? Are you 20th? Lord, please. Help us to put you back in that right place. You first, and everything else after that. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, just thank you, Lord, for your presence, and thank you for your love, Lord. We hold in our hands these elements that remind us of what you've done for us so that we can have peace, so that there will be peace in our lives, so that there could be peace in this world, Lord. And may we be the instruments that you work through to bring that not only to our family, to our neighborhood, to our homes, to our schools, to whatever, Lord. It first starts with you and I. So, Lord, help us with that, to be in communion with you. And thank you that you desire communion with us, Lord, because we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But, Lord, you never called us to earn it. You've called us to accept it. So, Father, help us to do that today. We love you. We thank you. And we take these now in remembrance of you and what you've done. And we give you thanks for it. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.